So from the time I left off last week, probably got a little more than an hour to get through this. I'd like to get through it, but the way that I want to get through it is we left off at Ezekiel 38:14-23, and I think I was trying to show that Ezekiel, I believe the Bible teaches that Ezekiel 38:39 are Armageddon. So I know there are some people that don't believe it. I'm going to show you something here, but I thought we could do this in a little different way. Everybody gets a sheet, or at least a sheet per family. We have Revelation 20, 7-15, where Gog and the land of Magog are released out of prison. And then we have Ezekiel 38:39. And you can put a check mark on where you think Ezekiel 38:39 goes. Does it go to Revelation 20, or does it go to Armageddon? Does it make sense? So I'm going to let you guys do it. I'm going to let you decide. But yeah, just try, I don't know, I've got like 15 there.
I can make a couple more.
So I just want to show you the thought, and this is what I believe. So I'll say this is actually what I believe. I did believe that Gog and Magog was actually leading into World War III, which we were going to be removed, and then there was going to be a peace treaty, and then World War III was going to be end. And there was a 7-year tribulation. That's what I used to believe. So I'm just going to give you the dispensationalist view of these things. Here is, of course, my enemy, dispensational truth, right? And this guy here, he basically took that book and he put it in a nice little chart, laminated, right? And you can pay more for it. This is Tim LaHaye actually taking those charts and colorizing them. And I say this too, I think I brought this up before. Tim LaHaye, Jerry Jenkins, Thomas Ice, they wrote the Left Behind series, right? I'm going to warn you, I think when I first got here, I had actually said I liked The Chosen. Right?
I was with you.
Right? And then you started watching, and then I started realizing, be aware of The Chosen, it's heresy. And Jerry Jenkins' son is Dallas Jenkins, who is the director of The Chosen. And Jerry Jenkins had a part in all the Left Behind series, which is a fairy tale. It's none of it's biblical. It's all, and I do, I think The Chosen is very popular, and I think it's all leading to something. And it is the lie that we're going to be removed before tribulation. Okay, so let me just give you what these guys say about it. Ezekiel 38:39. I don't want to read it all, because I really want to get through this today. We got a little over an hour to get through it. He says, we believe that the battle will take place before the 7-year tribulation, but after the rapture. The battle will not be confused with other end times battles such as Armageddon. So he's saying there's no way it's Armageddon. And this is the reason why. Because Arnold Frukenbaum associates with Russia and is not the same as the Battle of Armageddon. Because Arnold Frukenbaum said it's not Armageddon. That's why it's not Armageddon. He goes on to say, the 7 years are needed to burn the weapons. So he's saying this is when the burning of the weapons starts. That's during the tribulation. So, and once again, he's applying it to the human race. And we're going to see. Another thing that he says is many interpreters opt the view of Ezekiel 38:39 at the end of the tribulation in connection with Armageddon. That's what I believe now. I did not used to believe that. In the beginning of the middle of the tribulation and carried through till the end, there will be a view stated by Dr. Frukenbaum, Ezekiel 38:39, prior to the tribulation, but not necessarily prior to the rapture. Such a view allows the possibility of significant time lapse between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation, which comes after the signing of the 7-year peace treaty. The Bible doesn't say anything about peace treaty. It says a covenant and it's going to be confirmed.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah, that's in Daniel that there will be a covenant. It'll be confirmed.
That's right.
But it doesn't say we'll know anything about
that's
it.
That's right. Yeah, the covenant's already in place. It's going to be confirmed. And I don't even know if they're making it sound like people are going to walk out on the White House lawn, shake hands. Hey, we have peace for 7 years. That's not how it works. We don't even know. So here's we're going to go through this and we're going to see who God is. We did that last week. First of all, who is God? According to them, he's Putin. Or a Russian leader. Is that what we learned last week? That God is, that's who God is? He's a principality.
Yeah.
He's not even of this world. Okay, he says that God, Magog, Sheik, Prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. And now they start applying these names. Rosh means Russia, right? Meshach is Moscow. But, I mean, those are English names.
Right.
They're not even Hebrew names. These places weren't even called those until now. And the reason they do this is because last week when it said that he comes from the sides of the north. Mm-hmm. We understand what that means now, right? It's a dimension. The sides of the north are the dimension. They're saying, well, north, it's Russia. Yes. And here again, once again, I'm not going to say that the world is not going to be involved in it. That's not what I'm saying. Clearly the world is involved in end times.
Right.
What I'm saying is there is another dimension coming up that is involved in that.
Right.
And that's what I believe this is pointing to. Of course, I think I got one more here.
While you're looking at those nations that are mentioned, if you go back to the older text before all this stuff came up, that Gog and Tubal and Sidon and all that kind of stuff, that was all right around Asia Minor. All of those civilizations, at the time that it was written in Ezekiel's time, it was all around Asia Minor. It wasn't up
right
in the great north. It wasn't China with the 2 million man army coming down.
That's right.
Those land masses, those leaders were all around Turkey.
That's right.
Around that area, what we would call modern-day Turkey.
And who was Israel's enemy?
Yeah.
It's always been that area of Moabat there. It's always been that Middle East area. Now, once again, we look at the harvest and how all the nations are going to be drawn into Armageddon. Well, they're being drawn in because they're coming up against Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not Armageddon. The Jerusalem is going to be a cup of trembling, but God is going to draw them to Jerusalem, but he's going to draw them to Armageddon to slaughter them. So the prize is Jerusalem, but the slaughter is they're going to put hooks in them and draw them up into Armageddon. So here's a heretic, Scofield, who took that and put it in the King James Bible. This is what he says about it. So here, one view is they're both dispensationalists. LaHaye and Jerry James, they don't agree with Larkin. The Larkin view is different. They believe that God is World War III and Magog. They believe, and that leads to the 7 year tribulation. True dispensationalism, Larkinism, believes that this is what they believe. Okay. And it will become the final effort to overthrow the kingdom when they come up. And it will be he will be cast into fire for his final doom. The notion that he reigns in hell is melatonic and not biblical. You know, see what he's saying here? He is the prince of this present world system, but will not be tormented until he's thrown into the lake of fire. Understand what he's saying here? This is what I talked about before. He believes that during the millennial reign, we're up in heaven. We're up there, and God is on the earth reigning over this world.
Could you do me a favor? Open back up to that same place and show that to the church. Just flip your Bible around. Because I saw something that was pretty interesting. Even from way over here, we'll find that. Now, look at where the scripture starts and and the opinion begins.
Yeah.
Okay, you got this much chapter, you got that much opinion.
Yeah.
That's what I noticed.
This is opinion. This is man's opinion. This is scripture. So we're going to see what the scripture said. One more thing about it. This is early dispensationalism. This is Larkinism. where they believe the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are separate places.
Right.
That's what they believe, that when Christ comes and we go up, we're in heaven, and the rest of the world is down here, they're procreating, whatever, and their world system is here on the earth, and the Jews are here in their flesh. Like I said, we're just going to see what the Bible says about it. You got your sheets there, if you got a pencil, if not, let's look at Revelation 20. But there is a reason. Here's why it takes so long to get through these Bible studies. Because in 1 Corinthians, I'm not going to go there. These sheets you have on the back, you can check me. I have no problem with people checking me. 1 Corinthians 14, 29 to 33, 2 Corinthians 13, 1, Matthew 18, 15, 16, all say you need at least two witnesses to prove a point.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's what basically I do here. I'm not giving you my opinions. I'm telling you what the Bible says. And
one or more witnesses.
That's right, by two or more witnesses. My problem, like my wife says, is you give too many. You give too many verses. But I don't know another way to do it. So let's look at Revelation 20 and then turn in Ezekiel 38. So Revelation 20, I think we want to pick it up from 7 to 15. Listen to what it says about that event. Everybody there?
Amen.
Okay. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Where did we say the prison was? We proved it.
It's in hell.
Okay, and he shall go out to the sea of the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Gog and Magog to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the holy city, and fire came down from out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and there was the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne judgment, he that sat on him, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up its dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, so here's Revelation 27:15. They're loosed out of prison. He go up in the four quarters to deceive the nations, to battle, is the sand of the sea. They go up on the earth, they compass the camp of the saints, the beloved city, fire comes down, devours them, the devil is cast into the lake of hell. Then you have a great white throne judgment. The dead are judged out of those things, the sea gives up its dead, and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. That's it. That's what we have on this event. I saw Kevin earlier. From what I can see, this is all we have on this event when they're released. They come up, they want to go to war, they're deceived, let's go beat them one more time. There is no battle, there's no swords, there's no horses, there's no bloodshed.
Right.
God devours them. The next event, they are standing before God at the great white throne judgment and cast into the lake of fire. All right.
Wait. Did I misunderstand what you just said? There is no battle talked about here?
There is no battle. They want to go up to battle him. But there is no battle. They're devoured.
It does say they shall go out to deceive, right? Mm-hmm. In verse 8.
Eight. Yeah.
The nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, to gather them together to battle.
Yeah. He wants the battle. He wants to battle.
They gather the army, but there is no real fight.
There's no battle here.
So, when you say that,
huh?
It doesn't have to be written in as such for there to be a battle.
Right.
The vowing doesn't necessarily mean there's no battle.
So when
the army could have been the culmination of the ending of the battle, the final result of the battle is the vowing of the enemy.
So when all of the armies come up, and they're coming up from the pit, right, because that's where Satan is being loosed from, and he's getting the four corners, right, bringing up all of those demonic whatever, the folks who didn't believe in Christ or the demonic angels. And when Jesus comes to fight that battle, he does it by himself with the sword of his mouth. All right, he just, as they come up, he comes down and he meets them and he says, die, or whatever he says. And so with the sword of his mouth, he says, it is done, it has been, whatever the word is, because it doesn't say the words, it says that he defeats them with the sword of his mouth. And I don't know, you might just say drop dead, and everybody busts open like grapes on wine that day, you know. And, and then the blood rises up and it floods out, or 15 purloins or whatever it is.
This army has
sometimes up.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Cain rose up.
Yes.
And slew Abel.
But what rose up?
So up doesn't necessarily mean coming up.
Right.
It could be I rise up.
But if they're in, if they're in the four corners of the earth and they're in prison, then where are they coming up from?
They're in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it say that?
Seven. And when the 1,000 years were expired,
Satan's loose,
yes,
from his prison. I'm talking about
the nations.
And how can they be deceived if they're in hell, if they're in...
The deception is, let's go do battle against them.
And we can do it this time?
We can beat them. Yeah. They're always being deceived.
But I mean, I've heard the word. Their intent is to deceive. They're not deceiving.
Yeah, and the intent is to do battle. But there is no battle.
But
you don't see a battle.
To that word.
Yeah, right. Up
would be an interesting word to study.
Yeah.
Because Assyria rolls up.
Right.
I mean, God is a lot in his wrath. Mm-hmm. He's used against Israel, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and like I said, I mentioned, when Benjamin, when that priest had the woman died, he said,
right.
Benjamin, Israel asked, they took counsel at Shiloh. Was it Shiloh? Or one of them.
Yeah.
And they said, should we rise up?
Mm-hmm.
Should we go up against Benjamin?
Right.
So that word is not conclusive.
Right.
That word up is, can be,
but the
I can rise up and do it against
you. Listen to the context.
Tommy, don't take it personal. I'm just,
this is
going back and forth.
This is what we're here for.
Okay.
This is what we're here for.
Verse 8, and they shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. In the four quarters of the earth. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, to the number, whose number is the sand of the sea. And they went up. If they're in the four quarters of the earth, and they're going up, and Satan is the one deceiving them, and he's in prison, where is prison? Prison is hell. They're coming up out of hell.
But we're living in the United States. You know that could mean in the four corners, meaning this is where we abide. We abide in the four quarters of the earth.
It has to say
in.
Right. You don't have to get
there. Isn't there context in verses 1 through 3? Like in 3? Like we're laying the foundation of what's going on and then 4.
Yeah, the angel that key in the bottomless pit. Thanks, Kayla. I mean, like Kayla said, look at verse 1. The angel come down from heaven having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. So where's the bottomless pit? Is it on the earth? Is it in the four quarters on the earth? So clearly the event here is they're down in hell and they are coming up on the earth. Let's move on. Okay, let's just move on here.
See, we're all in this together. That's all. We're all in this together. The way I see it is, the next time you do something like this, it starts from one.
Leave the farm.
We were at one. We did one.
Yeah, but that was last week.
If we put it up there, it'll be 2 years. We brought the whole.
Yeah. All right. We were in one. Did we just not go through it a second time? Okay. Maybe we should start at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. That's what I did.
Okay.
That was a good time.
It is a good time. And yes, please don't get discouraged. Okay, because what it is we're trying to get our mind wrapped around this dimensional thing in a physical realization. All right, because we've always heard it this one way. We've always heard that up is I'm going to rise up. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. That type of up. But there's also other meanings for the word you know.
Sure, no doubt. The biggest part is if this was a bunch of children here,
yeah.
Okay, who've heard it for the first time, this would be a breeze.
Right, right.
We're detoxing from something we've been taught 60 years ago.
Right.
Well,
not you.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is the Almighty God of creation.
Right, yes.
Man.
Yeah. Amen.
This is a realm that we get whispers of.
Yeah.
We can't see this realm. This is a privilege that we can go through His Word and look at His Word and go over it. No one person here has it all right.
Right.
No one here has it all right.
Can I interject here? I'm going to go back to verse 9 because to me this is clear.
Yeah.
And they went up on the breadth of the earth. Mm-hmm. But were they there or did they go up there?
Yeah.
They're going up on the breadth of the earth.
Okay.
That's an action word. Went.
Yeah.
Right.
That's where they went. On the breadth of the earth, encompassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And that's as far as they got.
That's right.
They encompassed the city.
Yeah.
And then the fire came down. There's no battle.
That's right.
God's simple, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I forget what the verse says. I didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to read into it to say something else.
Thank you. I think what I'm trying to do here is I'm not saying that we're not talking about the world. We know they're involved. In end time. I'm trying to point you to is there is another dimension that is coming with them.
Yes.
That is going to lead them. That's what I'm trying to point to. The spiritual realm that is coming on the earth. First of all, like we said last week, who is God? He's a prince of Palady. So where is he? Is he in this dimension? No, he's in another dimension and he's bringing his army with him. John.
Another thing I came across when I was reading this morning in Ezekiel 39:2, it says, "And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north." Uh-huh. And that was interesting to me because when I think of the north, like if we're in New York and you're going to Texas, you go down, you don't go up, and it's
right.
Up from the north.
That's right. And we saw that last week in the study of Isaiah. Actually, we're moving on now. So Isaiah, the north, he comes, look at the 38. 15. And thou shalt, same thing, like John just read in 39. And thou shalt come up out of the place of the north parts, thou and thy people, many people with thee, and all them riding upon horses, a great company, and a mighty army. So who is this mighty army? Yes, they're going to mingle themselves with human. But what is this mighty army that is coming up out of the north? We did it last week. Where is the north? Isaiah 14, turn to Isaiah 14.
Wait 1 second. Is Ezekiel 38:15 where you're just repeating, is that the Revelation 20? What we're saying this is the same?
I say it's not.
It's not the same.
I say these are different events.
So is this...
I mean, there
are... Is 38:15 Armageddon? Is that what we're...
I believe 15 to 23 are Armageddon. Because now you have a battle, you have an army, a slaughter, you have him coming up with an army. And don't forget, in Revelation 20, it says to battle, but it says the multitude of people So it's not just an army, it's a multitude of people that is the sand of the sea. Okay, so we talked about the north last week. Isaiah 14, 6 to 15. So this is the devil, right? This is Satan. He had smote the people in wrath with a continuous growth. He ruled the nations in anger and had persecuted and none hindered. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir tree rejoiced at thee and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against thee. Hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. Even all the chief ones of the earth, it had raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nation. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows, the worms spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut to the ground, thou that weakest the nations? For thou ascend into heaven. I will ascend into heaven. Here we go. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. So, yes, is there a north Canada, Antarctica, Arctic? Yes. Well, what north is he talking about here?
Dimensional.
Okay, so that's just the point I'm trying to make. Is he's coming out of the dimension of the north. So I just want to read you some. Look at Job. And this is common. You know, I'm cutting a lot of stuff out here so we can move through this. But this common theme that he comes out of the north is a dimensional place. But it's not just in heaven, because Satan, look at Job 1.
Six and seven?
Yeah, go ahead, Al.
Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence come thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.
Okay, so he's going to and fro in the earth. He's walking up and down in it. He's in another dimension, and he's on the earth. But read chapter 2, 1 and 2.
Chapter 2, 1 and 2?
Yep.
And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.
So, these are the sides of the north, and you can go from that dimension to hell. They can go back and forth. And we studied a couple weeks ago how there was a gulf between Lazarus and the rich man. So God puts a gulf between them. We know that there are angels that are chained in darkness, but the other ones can go to and fro into heaven before God's throne, because Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he goes down to the pit, and he comes on the earth. So these are the dimensional beings that I'm talking about. And the sides of the north, when do they come out of the sides of the north? Revelation 9 says they come up out of the pit. The army that comes up out of the pit.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
9, 1 and 2. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke of the pit, out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. The sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, upon the earth, okay, up on the earth. And unto them was given power as a scorpion of the earth has power. It was committed unto them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither the green thing, neither any tree, but only those which have not the seal of God on their foreheads.
So there you go. So when is this event? When is Revelation 9? Is Revelation 9 match Revelation 27 to 15, or does it match Armageddon?
And obviously, it's Revelation 12, 7 through 9.
Yes,
it gets cast to the earth.
Right. You see what's going on? This is the army that's coming up out of the pit. Who's God? He's a principality leading this army. And what event is this? This is leading to Armageddon. Right?
The thing that ties all of these together is when the sun and the moon are dark and they give not their light.
That's right.
The smoke from this dimension comes up and it blots out the sun. It's darkened.
So in 16, so Ezekiel 38:16, look at 15 again. They're riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. He didn't just say an army, a mighty army. Who is this mighty army? It's this dimensional, mingled army that's coming up out of the pit.
Ezekiel 38:16,
and thou shalt come up against my people Israel. Revelation 20 says it's coming against the camp of the saints. Israel is different than the camp of the saints.
Right.
That's everybody. The camp of the saints is all the people, Jews and Gentiles together.
Yeah. So when you look at the tabernacle in the wilderness, there's the veil that went around the whole tabernacle. There's the room for the Gentiles, and there was the tabernacle of God, right? So you had the veil that went, the tent, not the tent, the curtain that went around the tabernacle. There's a place for the Gentiles inside of that, and inside of that was the holy place, the temple of God. All right, so when you look at this as this picture here, as these demonic hordes, or whatever, I would say that demonic hordes, because it talks about being released from the bottomless pit and coming up against. So there's a place where the Jews and the Gentiles are mingled together, still inside the confines of the covenant of God, within the curtain of the tabernacle.
Right.
Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Because when you really look at the tabernacle, and because there's a curtain that went around the whole thing, and then there's the tents of the tabernacle. And in the curtain of the tabernacle, if you were a Gentile, not a Jew, but you were coming into the understanding of who God was, there was a spot for you inside of the curtain, but not inside of the tents.
Right. Yeah.
You
had
to
have
the
atonement
to enter in. Yes. That was the key. What
you
separated wasn't just
to go and look
or watch. Yes. Yeah.
You had to have
the atonement. Blood entered. Yeah. There is an app you can get, at least for iPhones, maybe others. It's called The Tabernacle.
Oh.
It's interactive. You can actually move in through the gates and move around left, right, and see the inside of it.
You want
to get a visual form for a presentation.
So if you want to go to Pennsylvania, South Hershey, they got one set up, life size, cut away, that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. It is just, it's the coolest thing. The Mennonites did it. And so they built a life size tabernacle and all of the goodies, the priest robes, and then they have a Mennonite or Anabaptist, show you scripture and all those things.
Okay, so we're talking about the time. There's a difference between the camp of the saints being surrounded, that's when they come, and Israel being attacked.
Yes.
So clearly Ezekiel 38 is talking about Israel being attacked. And if you look at Jeremiah 30, once again, I'm asking you, when is this event? Jeremiah 30. Okay, so would you put this at Armageddon, or would you put this 1,000 years later? We're going to last over here.
Because Revelation 20 is 1,000 years later.
Right, exactly. Okay, Jeremiah 35:11. I've got here. Thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice. voice of trembling and of fear and not of peace. Ask now whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. And as, alas, for the day, singular, one day, for the day is great and there is none like it, even to the time of Jacob's trouble. See, the dispensationalist day tells us Jacob's trouble is the 7-year period. It's the great, it's tribulation. But yet I'm being told right here it's one day. And so what is this day? So it's the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Who? The Jew. Right? For it shall come to pass in that day, again, that day, saith the Lord, that I will break his yoke from off the neck and burst thy bands, and the stranger shall no more serve themselves in him. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, and I will raise them up. So you have the resurrection, you have the Feast of Tabernacles, and you have David. So when is that? That's the second coming, right? When God sits on the throne. Okay, therefore, fear not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of captivity, and Jacob shall return and shall rest shall be able to be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee. When is he going to be with thee? Tabernacles, right? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, and I will make a full end of the nations, whether I have scattered thee, and yet I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee and measure, and will not leave thee altogether punished. So what event is this? Is this 1,000 years later? Or is this when he saves the Jewish people, and he dwells with us and them, right? And he makes a full end of his, all the nations that came against him. When is that? That's Armageddon.
Right.
Okay, Daniel 12. And I guess the point I'm trying to make here, too, is it's not just them. He doesn't say them without us and us without them. It's the same event for them as it is for us.
He saves those of the covenant.
That's right.
All right. There are a lot of folks that are not part of the covenant because they don't want to be part of the covenant.
That's right.
Whether they be Jew or Gentile, there are people that will reject the truth of God's word. They'll reject the covenant that God gave. And then there's those who have, that God knew before the foundations of the world, that would accept the covenant, accept the sacrifice of Christ, and be part of the true, and I hate to use Greek because I'm a Southern American, part of the ecclesia, the church, the ones that are called out of the world to be a unique people.
Right, right. Okay, so Daniel 12, 1, once again, what event is this? Is this 1,000 years later, or is this the second coming? And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince. Okay, who's Michael? He's the archangel. This is 1 Thessalonians 4, when the voice of the archangel, right? It's the same event, which standeth for the children of thy people, Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, Jacob's trouble, right? Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that is, so it's not just them.
Right.
Everyone that is found written in the book. And of many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake. What is that?
Resurrection.
A resurrection. When is the resurrection, Mark? 1,000 years later or on the second coming of Christ? The second coming. Okay? And from an everlasting life and from shame to everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that they may turn to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut the words and seal them, seal the book, even till the time of the end. When is the end? What did Jesus say? What is the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And he points to his second coming when he comes in the clouds. So that's the end. So once again, these verses, when is Israel saved? Ezekiel 38, Israel's going to be saved. He's saved at Armageddon. Okay, in the latter days, 38, go back to Ezekiel 38:16. against my people Israel as a cloud to cover land, and shall be in the latter days. When are the latter days? Numbers, look at Numbers 24.
Just reading a quick thing out of yeah.
Numbers 24, look at 14. He's going to give a prophecy to Israel. Numbers is talking about Israel, right?
And I know you're saying this without breathing, but give us a breath.
So in other words, what I'm saying is, once again, another word. The Bible is written by God. It uses specific words for specific reasons. So what does he mean when he does this? Latter days? Are the latter days 1,000 years after, or are the latter days the second coming? Here's a prophecy that Moses gives to the people of Israel. 14. And now, behold, I go up unto my people, and come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this shall do to thy people in the latter days. Okay, so now he's going to take up a parable of Balaam, right? So Balaam is going to say, the son of Beor, saith the man whose eyes are open, he has said. Look at 17. This is what he says. Tell me what emphasis is. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. And Edom shall be a possession, and Seir a possession for his enemies. He goes on here, 18 to 20, he mentions four nations. Four. What is the four? Dimensional. Right? Look at 22, nevertheless the Kenites shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took this parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? The ship shall come from the coast of Shittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and shall also perish there forever. So, once again, he puts the latter days, when? When we see him, but not now. Right? When I behold him, but not now. When do we see him? When do we behold him? And when does the scepter rise out of Israel?
So on the last day.
Right? When he takes the kingdoms of this world, become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ.
Yeah.
So to me, the latter days in Ezekiel 38 point to the second coming. Alright, so now 16c I have here. And I will bring thee against the land of Ezekiel 38:16.
No. See, we're going to
We're moving fast. You can keep track by flipping over to the back side of these things. So this is what he says in 16. I will bring thee against my land, and thy heathen shall know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O God. We don't even need to chase this. When are the heathen going to know God is God? When he appears, right? When does he appear? 1,000 years later, or at the second coming?
Well, that would be when every tongue confesses.
That's
and
right.
Down,
That's right.
Right.
The Revelation 1:7 says all the earth is going to see him at the second coming. You don't have to turn there. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. What event is that? That is clearly second coming, when he appears, he's magnified. The heathen, though. Man, we could go on and on with the heathen. I just want to pick a couple here. Alan, read Psalm 9, 5, 15, and 19. Joel
3:9-11. 5:15.
Psalm 9, verses 5:15 and 19. So once again, what event is this?
Thou hast rebuked the heathen,
thou hast destroyed the wicked, and thou hast put out their name forever and ever. You want me down to 15. And the heathen are sunk down into the pit, and they are made in a net, which they are hid in their own foot taken.
19.
Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail, let the heathen be judged in thy sight.
Wait a minute. When do they go down to the pit? When does he arise? And he calls them the same thing in Ezekiel 38, the heathen. Okay, Doug?
Okay, this is Joel 3, 9 through 11. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Be your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither, cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord.
So there you go. The heathen are being gathered where? Where they're going to beat their plowshares into swords. War. This is war. This is Armageddon. What event is this? So clearly the heathen in Ezekiel 38 is talking about Armageddon.
Right. And these are human heathens, right? This is
Once again, we're talking about a mingled kingdom that's coming. Humans and devils.
Right. Iron and clay.
Right. So, okay, let's move on. 17:38-17. Ezekiel 38:17. Thus saith the Lord God, art thee of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them. Okay, so clearly God's telling us that his prophets told us about this event. Okay, Ezekiel, turn over to Ezekiel 28. 28:1-10. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince. Have we done this? You think this is talking about the human leader over there in Tyrus? Or who is this talking about? The prince, thus saith the Lord, because of that, who is this talking about? This is not talking about an earthly prince, because listen to this description. Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God, and sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not a God, though thou set thine heart as God. Who does that?
Lucifer.
This is Antichrist.
Yeah.
This is Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians when he sits in the temple and he says, these are the same words. In 2 Thessalonians he says, I am God and I sit in the temple of God saying that I am God. So with thy wisdom and thy understanding, thou hast gotten riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. And thy great wisdom and thy traffic, thou hast increased and thine heart lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set in thine heart as the heart of God, behold, I will bring strangers upon thee, terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou say before that he slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Who slays him? Christ. What event? Armageddon. Thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. So here's one of these prophets of old, Ezekiel, talking about this event. Man, I could go on and on. Look at Daniel. Look at Daniel 2. Another prophet spoke of this event, Daniel 2.
Well, the interesting thing with Tyrus. Oh, never.
You might say?
Where?
Daniel 2. So, once again, is he talking about Nebuchadnezzar here? We actually studied, I don't think you guys were here when we studied Daniel 2, but you could clearly see Daniel 2 is talking about the mingled kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that king is not Nebuchadnezzar. It's the king that is going to rule over the world. 37, thou, O King, art King, small King of kings. For the God of heaven give thee power and strength and glory. I don't want to go through all that. Okay, let's just pick it up at 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou saw the stone that was cut with out of the mountain without hands, who is that?
Jesus.
And that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, and the silver, and the gold. What event is that?
Armageddon.
Right? And the great God that made the known things which shall come to pass hereafter, future. And the dream is certain, interpretation thereof. 43. Look at 43. Whereas thou saw iron mixed with miry clay. What are we?
We're clay.
Right? Iron is the iron kingdom. It's the dimensional kingdom. They who say, shall mingle themselves with the seed of man.
So it's the dimensional, the angelic host, right? Mingling with mankind.
When?
They've probably been doing it for a while.
So just think of this. If 1,000 years later, people are dead, they're not humans anymore.
Right.
They're coming up. They're not humans anymore. This event, the demonic realm is mingling with the human realm.
Right.
So this is clearly Armageddon when Christ takes the kingdom and it's ours forever and ever.
Now, you know what's interesting? Ezekiel 28, you were there. It mentions the prince of Tyrus and the king of Tyrus.
Mm-hmm.
It shows the Antichrist and Satan.
Right.
The two personalities.
And that, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Ezekiel 28, go read it. What you're going to see in Ezekiel 28, you're going to see the devil, the king of Tyrus. You're going to see the prince of Tyrus, the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And you're going to see mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, the realm of unbelievers. And I would say that is probably from 21 to 26. So if you want to read Ezekiel 28 and get a blessing, 28, 1 through 10 is the devil. 11 to 19 is the Antichrist. 20 to 26 is Mystery Babylon, Mother of Harlots. Actually, Kevin's right. 11 to 19 is the devil. 1 through 10 is the Antichrist. Okay. So, one more in Daniel.
Ask a question about the miry clay. So it's mixed with miry clay and iron clay, hard clay. Clay. So the clay is human. Is what you said, right? But that's true of everything in the statue. Are we talking about human? The gold and the
iron is the one that's not human. The iron is the dimensional. The Iron Kingdom is the fourth kingdom.
So it's not the Roman kingdom that we were told that it was, the Noarkin, that the Iron Kingdom, it got divided into the northern
right.
and the southern.
It's
dimension.
The mixture.
Yeah, and with
of
those.
Human and
the iron is them. The clay is us.
Right.
They're going to mingle.
And so the head of gold, Babylon, right, the hand of, he was a tool in the hand of God, right? Then silver, and then the bronze, and then the iron, and then the mingled kingdom at the ankles and below.
Okay, Daniel 7:23. John, read Daniel 7, 23 to 26. Listen to what it says. You tell me what event this is and who these people are.
Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of the kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And things change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hands until the time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall stay, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end.
Okay, so once again, this is who the prophets spoke of. If you have a time, time, and a dividing of times, and then this, what event is this? This is the last 3.5 years. And he's clearly talking about the destruction of this kingdom and their people during that time. So, time, time, and dividing of times, is that 1,000 years later? Or is that the second coming? It's the second coming. See, to me, this is, I understand what we've been told, but everything to me, when I believed it, I believed that. But when I started studying it, I'm like, everything's pointing to Armageddon. So I can't trust what man is saying, but I have to trust what this is saying. Okay, so 38, 18. Ezekiel, keep a finger in Ezekiel 38:18. And it shall come to pass at that same time, when God shall come up against the land of Israel. We just did this, Jacob's trouble, right? He says the same time. He's putting this event at Jacob's trouble. Okay, then, so this is what it says. Tell me what event this is, these next two verses. And the Lord, that my fury shall come up in my face, for my jealousy and the fire of my wrath. I have spoken, surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. So what is God's fury? It's his wrath. When is the day of wrath? I don't even think we need to chase this thing. Right? If you want to, we will. We'll chase it. But I think this group here, we know when the day of wrath is. The day of wrath, he mentions nothing in Revelation 20 about wrath. Nothing. He just says he devours it, and the next thing, event, they're at the great, great throne judgment, and they're cast into the lake of fire. The wrath is always pointing to the day of the Lord.
Right.
Always. So, I mean, okay, I would love to chase it. I really would. I would love to chase it.
Here's a good way to chase it real quick. Can you find one scripture that doesn't say that the wrath of the Lord is on the last day?
Right, you can't.
Is there one anywhere in the Bible that you know, that you can call up, that says, well, this is going to contradict that?
Right. That's right. Okay, so we're going to have Asha read. We're going to chase one verse here. You got it. I'm not trying to manipulate anybody. If you think I'm wrong, the verses are here, and I've got no problem with being wrong. But these verses are here, so I want you to read Jeremiah 10. 1 through 12, and the rest of us are going to look at the shaking. John, did you want to say something?
I was just going to read one verse to the
go ahead.
Revelation 16:18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great.
There you go. Wrath, shaking. Okay. I want to read about God's wrath. This is just one verse. Chase the word wrath. It's always pointing to the second.
Everywhere.
That's right.
Anger, wrath, all over.
Indignation, vengeance.
And then the other words that keep pestilence, sword, those words keep coming over. And famine. Those three, and they're always over and over again.
That's right.
Sorry, so Jeremiah 10.
1:10. I got like a birthday here. 10. Go 1 through 12.
Okay. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it moves not. They are upright as the palm trees, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish, the stock is a doctrine of vanity. Silver spread as a fleece is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Upaz, the work of the workmen and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall he say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion.
So there you go. The reason I wanted her to read all of that is because they're clearly talking about making images. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen in the last day, they're going to make an image. And God's saying, those images, they didn't create what I created.
Right. And yeah. Over and over again, he talks about not worshiping the
That's right.
idols. It comes up. It's amazing,
it is amazing
how much he hates that.
And I'll say this too, I don't know if you've caught it yet, Asha, but what I've noticed he's studying end times, he's constantly talking about a creation.
Yeah.
A recreation. He's constantly bringing up creation with a second coming. And I believe that he is going to regenerate the earth when he comes. Okay, so the shaking. This is what I think, the shaking. Julie, you want to read? Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2, 19 to 21. Mark. Matthew 24:9, Paul Keller, Joel 3:16. Once again, when is this event, the shaking? Go ahead, here.
Okay. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. When he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the bowl and to the bath, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly by the earth.
Clear. What event is that? Is it 1,000 years later, or is it the second coming? Who's next?
Matthew 24:9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake.
That's how they want it. So you can tell I don't get this from anybody because I screw it up. Matthew 24, maybe it was 19. Nope. Okay, 29.
Chapter
24, 29. Listen, when this event is. Mm-hmm. This is clear.
Yeah, they don't need it.
Yep. Matthew 24, 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken.
Paul? The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel.
Okay. So when does he roar out of Zion? When is after the tribulation? Okay, so just to make sure, one more thing. Turn to Hebrews 12. Is there going to be two more shakings? Is he going to shake the earth at the second coming and then shake it 1,000 years later? Look at Hebrews 12. Here's the warning, right? See that you refuse him not that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused them that spake on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away apostasy from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, once more.
Yeah.
Once more. I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And that word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things which are shaken, of those as of those things which are made, and those things which cannot be shaken remain. Two people. The people that are going to be shaken, and the people that aren't going to be shaken.
Yeah.
Right?
The one who are founded on the rock.
That's right.
You dig deep.
That's right.
The storm's coming.
Yep.
The shaking's going to happen.
The ones that are shaken fall away.
And great is their destruction. Great is that fall.
He says, I'm going to shake it one more time. So he's going to shake it at the second coming, and then 1,000 years later, because that's two more times. One more time. This is all I'm trying to say. You don't have to agree with this, but everything to me is pointing to Armageddon in Ezekiel 38 and 39. So, you know, 20, if you're in Ezekiel 38, if you go to 20, he's talking about that all of creation is going to shake, right? Look at 19. 38:19, for in my jealousy and the fire of my wrath I have spoken, surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea, the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the field, and all creepy things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The Bible says he's going to appear one more time. He appeared once for salvation, he is going to appear the second time, right? So is his appearance at the second coming and then 1,000 years later? Because now he's going to appear two more times. Right?
So are we trying to decide that, like, are they saying that there would be another appearing at the end of the millennium then?
This?
Is that what we're trying to battle against now that we're through the whole thing? I'm trying to
figure. This, Asha, is dispensation.
Right.
There's two of everything. There's two gods. There's one God for the Jews. There's another God for the Gentiles. There's a kingdom of heaven, and there's a kingdom on earth. There's two second comings, right? First he comes for the church, then he comes.
Well,
this is what they do.
He comes to the earth. That's what we've always been.
That's right.
Jesus will come in the clouds, and then those who believe will be caught up, and the rest of the earth is going to be tormented for 7 years as God pours out his wrath and indignation. And then at the end of that, we'll be Satan's cast down, peace on the earth with 1,000 years, and then after 1,000 years, Christ is going to come again and set up the millennial, his kingdom.
This is dispensationalism in a nutshell. It chops up your Bible and it says, this is for you, this is for the Jews, this is for the unbelieving Gentiles. It just chops it up. There's different covenants for different people. It just, where the Word of God points to one event, the second coming of Jesus Christ.
It's for who wants to listen to man instead of who wants
right.
to listen to
I'm
God.
I'm not done. I'm done with that.
I agree.
I'm done with that.
I agree.
The second appearing is his return, yeah?
Absolutely.
That when he reigns.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just... So I don't want to even change this one. Go read Romans chapter 8. Talks about that all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of men. It's a resurrection. That's Jesus Christ coming. Says all of creation is waiting for that event. It's not 1,000 years later. So look at 21. And I will call for a sword on him. Who's him? Him is God. Through all my mountains, saith the Lord, every man's sword shall be against his brother. When are people going to be warned? That when they come up out of the pit and encamp, they have one mind. They're not warring with each other. What are we told by Jesus? That nation is going to be against nation in the last days, kingdom against kingdom, brother against brother. When? At the second coming, not 1,000 years later. So here you go. What is the sword? Verse 11, who is the sword? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we have talked about this, Wendy. Is he coming with a sword? Zorn is his mouth. He's speaking and he is slaughtering people.
The word of God is sharper than the sword.
That's right. This is Revelation 19:11-21, Armageddon, the sword of the Lord, and he's slaughtering people at Armageddon. This doesn't happen 1,000 years later. Once again, I don't see these events when they're released out of the prayer. I do see it here at Armageddon. Look at verse 22. And I will plead against him with pestilence, Asha, and with blood, and I will rain upon him, upon his bands, and upon many people that are with him, overflowing rain, with great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. Clearly, what event is this? Turn to Revelation 15. Revelation 15. Tell me this, if this doesn't match Ezekiel 38. We have fire, brimstone, blood, wrath. And I saw another sign in heaven, a great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled the wrath of God. If they're in the last plagues, is there any more plagues after that?
No.
And in them is filled the wrath of God. Look at 7, and the 7 angels, 6, verse 6, and the 7 angels came out of the temple having 7 plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breastplates girded with golden girdles. And one of the 4 beasts gave unto the 7 angels 7 golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever. And the temple was filled with smoke and the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter the temple till the 7 plagues were fulfilled. Keep going. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying, go your way, pour your vials of wrath upon the earth. And the vials of wrath were poured on the earth. There fell noisome, grievous sore upon people which had the mark of the beast and upon them that worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out on the sea, and it became blood. It's blood of dead men, and every living soul died. And the third angel poured his vial upon the rivers, in the fountains of waters, and they became blood. So listen to what it says, and I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, thou which art, which was, and which shall be, because thou hast judged. For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another angel come out of the altar saying, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. The fourth And the fourth angel poured his vial upon the sun, was given unto men to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed God, and they had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. And they blasphemed God, verse 12, and the sixth angel poured his vial. Listen to this. What event is this? On the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw 3 unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And in case you don't know what day that is, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and see thy shame. And he gathered them into a place which in the Hebrew is called.
Clear.
No, that's really neat. You see in verse 14, you see the dimension of the spiritual and the physical. Ghosts, and out of them, the ones, the Antichrist that we'll see in person, out of him comes the spirit that was controlling them.
That's right.
All right, and it goes, so the false prophet, all of those things that have been withheld inside of that person that was giving them authority, power, enough to do all the things they did, all of a sudden the dimensional realm becomes where you can see it.
That's right.
So you'll see them and you'll see the dimensional realm that was controlling them. Again, when Daniel was praying, and the prince of Persia was fighting against Gabriel, the archangel, there was a prince, a physical prince of Persia, but the physical prince of Persia was not fighting against Gabriel.
That's right. Henry.
It was Henry. Yeah, it was Henry against the prayer.
So we're not going to get to 39, but I just want to wrap up 38 because there's one more verse here.
Yeah.
Once again, tell me what event this is. Verse 38, 21. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. This goes back to what we started, Revelation 1:7. When is he magnified? 1,000 years later, or at the second coming, when he is magnified and glorified? Myself. You know, Isaiah 2:10 says, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. The Lord alone. Well, that would mean the three in one. Not just Jesus.
Right.
Not just the Holy Spirit, and not just God the Father. All three are one. That's what it means to be magnified. That's what it means that we are going to see him at the Feast of Tabernacles, that we are going to see the fullness of God. Not just Jesus, not just the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, but we are going to see, which something I'll never understand until I see it, the three are one. Right? Okay, so, like I said, you have the rest of this. We're going to move on to the judgment seat of Christ next week. You have this. You mark for yourself. Do it yourself. Take Ezekiel 38, take Revelation 20, and John mentioned, I wanted to get into Ezekiel 39, where it talks about the weapons being burned and the carcasses being burned.
Carcasses are buried.
What if...
Yeah, they're buried.
Okay. If these are dimensional beings, what if it takes longer for the weapons to be burned? What if it's... And God says he's doing it for a renown. He's doing it for a reason. The reason it's going to take 7 months and 7 years, it's being renowned, he says in Ezekiel 39, to glorify him. So there's a remembrance in doing these things. And if these things are coming up out of the pit and they're dimensional, aren't your weapons dimensional? Right? Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Then he goes on to mention six things. Right? Shield, sword, gird, belt, six. So if we have weapons of war for our spiritual, what if they do? And what does he say? I'm going to leave a sixth part of thee behind. What if the sixth part that he's being left behind is spiritual warfare weapons? In Isaiah, he said, I am going to smite. Revelation 6:2 says, Antichrist is coming and with a bow and a crown is given to him. With a bow. Isaiah says, I'm going to smite the bow out of your hand. So what if these are the one-sixth of the things that are left behind? And what does the devil shoot with his bow? Fiery darts, right? There's a spiritual warfare that's going on here that I think goes beyond, and I believe that when it talks about burning things or burying things for 7 months, 7 years, what if these things that are spiritual need to be done longer? That's all I'm saying. You don't have to agree with it. Do your own diligence. I did mine. This isn't even a gray area for me anymore. To me, it's clear. Okay. Father God, thank you. Thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Father, that I can put my trust in you, in your Word, in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, and not trust the doctrines of men. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for this group here. If I have been an offense to people, Lord, I apologize to them through you. Have mercy upon me. If I've been wrong, Lord, please correct me. Show me clearly where I've been wrong and hold it not against my brothers and sisters, but remember that I am of dust and have mercy upon me like you've always done, Lord. And I pray for Curtis as he brings forth more of the Word of God. Lord, just keep feeding us your Word, because I think we have a group here that has had about enough of the teaching of men and want to be taught the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.